I have a word this morning that if we will take this word and apply it to our life, you'll have to build another building.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Not for the sake of saying, hey, we built a bigger building, but because we will be allowing the kingdom of God to flow in us and through us. So if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, but take maybe a little bit of a different twist this morning. And I'm going to tell you, this morning's going to be a challenging word to us. It's going to be a challenging word. It's a challenging word to me. But I tell you, if we will practice this word, God will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Genesis chapter 12, the title of my message this morning is simply this: After the Blessing. After the Blessing. Now, we all in the body of Christ seek to be blessed of God. And by virtue of being a disciple of Christ, we are blessed of God. Whether we realize it or not, if we are a true, blue, genuine disciple of Christ, the blessings of God reside upon our life. But can I tell you that God wants us to not just keep those blessings, but he wants to work in us and through us to be a blessing to other people every day of our lives. So let's look, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will what? And I will make your name great, and you will what?
Be a blessing.
Be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have in store for us. I just ask for revelation this morning. But Lord, that we'll have more than revelation, that we'll run with that revelation, that we'll live it out. Lord, that the people of this area, this region might be blessed. God, that they might come to know you, that they might come to walk in that fullness of knowing you. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've met a lot of people in church that when you say, "How are you?" they say, "I'm blessed." But that right there is not the question. By virtue of being a follower of Christ, you're blessed. But the question is, are you being a blessing? Husband, are we being a blessing to our wives? "Well, brother, you just don't know my wife." Well, maybe your wife is saying, "You just don't know my husband." But guess what? By virtue of being a Christ follower, we are blessed to bless our mates. Well, we're blessed to be a blessing to our bosses. You might say, "Oh my, now you're taking this a little bit too far now, brother." Did the word say, "Oh, you're to bless, be a blessing to everybody but your boss"? That person that just rubbed you the wrong way? Oh, come on now. That's what separates us from people who don't know Christ. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this. I want us to see this morning that the Lord wants us to be a blessing to others because he has blessed us. The blessed, the word blessed in the Bible means to be spiritually prosperous and to have divine faith. Do we realize that God says that we are spiritually prosperous as we are walking with Him, and as we're walking in humility, His divine favor rests upon each and every one of us that know Him? Come tonight, the Lord willing, the title of my message is going to be, Who Are You? Who are you? God has said that He will help us to be prosperous, and His divine favor will rest upon us. You see, we are saved to not hoard our blessings. We are saved to be a blessing to others. This life is not about us. It is about others. Well, bless the Lord. My husband, he doesn't bless me. Well, the Bible says that we can even bless our enemies. Come on now. Done God got to meddling this morning instead of preaching. That's okay. You see, this life is not about us. It's about others. You see, we are to be selfless, not selfish. The very thing that keeps us from being a blessing to other people, a lot of the times, is selfishness. Well, if you just knew them, selfishness. I don't feel like it, selfishness. It's not convenient, selfishness. Oh, that's just not comfortable for me, selfishness. Boy, it's quiet in here this morning. You see, the greatest sin in the church is not what we call the big sins. The greatest sin in the church is selfishness. And it's selfishness that actually keeps our churches from growing healthy. You see, because if we live selfless lives, then we're going to be interested in blessing others' lives. And then others will really see Jesus. Listen, there are a lot of people, they're tired of hearing about Jesus. They want to see some Jesus being walked out. Now, none of us are perfect, right? Except my wife. She's like really close. You see, as the Lord God told Abraham, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. We have this divine favor. I want us to get this morning, this divine favor that rests upon us so that we might be prosperous to minister to the needs of others. You see, He is telling us, I have blessed you so that you can bless someone else. So let's look this morning, number one, at how the Lord God has blessed us. Now, we were told in the scripture there, we were told that Abraham was told that he would be blessed. God told him, I will bless you. I believe that if we will be like Abraham and if we will be like a blessing to others, then God will pour more blessings into us because He knows that we can be trusted with His blessings. He knows that we can be trusted with that divine favor. Oh, but you just don't understand what it's like at school. The peer pressure. Listen, peer pressure is nothing but an excuse. Let me tell you this. If our compassion for people will get greater than our concern about ourselves, then we would have revival in our schools. If our compassion for that person that it's really hard to love would become greater than our concern for ourselves, then we would have revival in our churches. Well, let's get back to the good part here. First, we are blessed. Amen. We are blessed. You see, we have been abundantly blessed by the Lord God. He told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. Your name is going to be great. You're going to be a great nation. You see, His divine favor rests upon us so that we can do His work. The Lord God has bestowed good upon us. He gives us the greatest that life has to offer for us. He gives us the plans to prosper us, to give us a hope, and to give us a future. Oh, come on. Now, if you're going to shout, right now is the time to shout. You see, he has plans to prosper us. He has blessed us with a hope and a future. He has blessed us with his authority and power. He has blessed us with salvation. Oh, hallelujah. This place should have just erupted in praise and worship. Just for that one simple blessing of God, that he has saved us, that we're no longer destined for hell, but we're destined for heaven. You see, he has rescued us from a lifestyle of sin. Glory. Oh, he has rescued us from hell. Hallelujah. Forgive me if I just have a little worship fit here, okay? I'm trying to be a little more dignified in front of you. But oh, I'm going to tell you, man, that right there should be... We just don't get it. Hello? I told you, this isn't going to be a little... Tonight won't be as hard. So come tonight if you're looking for a not-so-hard message. But I don't apologize for this one this morning either, because it's truth. He has blessed us with salvation. He has blessed us, rescued us from hell. He has rescued us from a lifestyle of sin. He has rescued us from the grasp of Satan. He has made us right with God the Father. The Bible says we were enemies, but now we are his friends. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Glory. It's a good thing I don't have a good voice, or I would just break out in song. I don't want to run people off this morning, though. See, he has given us a new identity. Glory to God. He has provided our every need. He has never failed us. He is always faithful. Even when we mess up and we fess up, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. Little half turn there. Glory. You say, you crazy. That's all right. There are going to be a lot of crazy people in heaven. Because they're excited, because they're with the Savior. They're with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a party in heaven. Glory. He has given us the best. I said, he has given us the best that life has to offer. He has lined everything up for us while he is holding everything together. Oh, he forgives our sins, we're told. He forgives all of our sins. We're told he heals all of our diseases. We're told that he has redeemed our lives from the pit, and he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Glory! Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like I'm pulling a weight this morning. Y'all are the weight. Come on, let's get into this. Man, he has blessed us in so many ways. Do you have a roof over your head? He's blessed you. Do you have food in your cupboards? He's blessed you. Do you have a car? He's blessed you. Do you have two legs? He's blessed you. Did you wake up this morning breathing? He blessed you. We serve a God that blesses us.
That's right.
He has made us a home in heaven. Some of us act like we're living in Hades. Let me tell you something. He has made us a home in heaven. But we can experience heaven here on earth. Because the Spirit of God resides against us, saints. It resides in us, saints of God. He has blessed us with His Spirit so that we can praise and worship, so that we can pray, so that we can get to know Him, so that we can feel important, so that we can know that we are significant in Him. You see, God has blessed us. Secondly, Abraham here, he said, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God is just looking for somebody to work through this morning. You don't have to be perfect. Listen, when I first got saved, I was crazy. You think I'm crazy now? We're in youth group. Okay? We're in youth group. And toward the end of youth group, this guy says, anybody who wants to go with me, we're going to go down here and we're going to lay hands on this bar. I'm a new Christian. I'm like, where are we going? Let's go. Why are we still here? Why ain't we in our cars headed down that way? Four of us get in that car. We go down there and right there at the front door, we lay hands on that bar, and I mean, we're praying for the owner to be so convicted that he gets saved and he closes a bar. And there's one guy, I'll never forget this, Pastor Rick, as long as I live. One of the guys was laid his hands on that building, and he said, God, I pray for your fire to come into this building. Well, guess what? I drove by that bar 2 weeks later, and the thing had stinking burnt down. I thought, man, that guy's, I'm going to have him pray for me. but not for fire. I was going to preach at a church in Fort Valley, Georgia. The pastor said, Bruce, bring the fire. Well, Don and I are in the hotel, and we're getting ready, and I hear sirens, and I mean, it's like, man, 9/11 has happened all over. I mean, it was crazy, man. I mean, and this church has a long driveway, and I turned to go into the driveway that morning. There were fire trucks, there were police cars, there were EMTs. I mean, I was like, what in the world? And the pastor's car had caught on fire. And he said, Bruce, the pastor said, Bruce, I didn't mean for you to bring literal fire to my vehicle. I said, well, your insurance company will bless you. Listen, we are blessed to be a blessing. Listen, Acts. We love the book of Acts as Pentecostals, don't we? Boy, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Boy, we love the blessing of power, don't we? We love the blessing of that authority of walking in the name of Jesus. We love all those things, don't we? But guess what? God didn't bless them with the power, oh glory, to stay in the upper room, but He blessed them with power so that they might go out and be used of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to others. Amen. He didn't bless them with the Holy Spirit for them to speak in tongues. That's not the end result of speaking in tongues. It's not even the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's going out and allowing God to work through us to touch the lives of others that they might know Jesus. The Holy Spirit didn't come for the disciples to stay in the upper room. He came for them to be sent out and used of Him. We are Christ's personal representatives. We are a delegate of the Lord God. We are His spokespersons. Come on, folks. We are His spokesperson. It's about time that we got really serious about what it really means to be a Christ follower. It's time to stop playing games. Listen, the end is near. I'm going to tell you, just look at the signs of the times. It's time for the church to come alive and walk in that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with the Holy Spirit for us to just speak in tongues and for us to just walk in the gifts of the Spirit. He's blessed us with the Holy Spirit that we might walk out the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, he's called us to be the salt of the earth. He's called us to be that godly influence for him. He's called us to impact the lives of others. Amen. Yes. He's called us to be the light of the world. So many of us are hiding our light. It's time to take the top off of our light and walk in the light of Christ. Walk in that authority and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we are His agent to impact the lives of others. We are the ones that He has chosen to go and do His work and fulfill His purposes. See, it is like Christ is calling to people through us. We'll say that again. It's like Christ is calling to people through us. The Lord God told Abraham that people would be blessed through him. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many people have been blessed through us? How many people have been blessed through us? The word through means we are an instrument that God will use. The Holy Spirit is the source. We are simply the vessel for Him to flow through. In our backyard, we have a water hose. Sometimes I take that water hose and I connect it up to the spout. And I turn on the water. Water flowers or grass with it. Let me ask you, is it the water hose that causes the flowers to bloom and grow? Is it the water hose? No, it's the water that flows through the water hose. God's not asking us to be the water. The Holy Spirit is the water. He's simply just asking us to be that water hose. I don't know about you, but my water hose stinks. Sometimes our lives stink. Let me give you an illustration. I had a boss before I went to Bible college and was in ministry full time. I was a foreman at a foundry, and I had my boss, the owner, called me every Saturday. Saturday was my off day. He would call me every Saturday and cuss me out about something. He called one Saturday. I was in the flesh. I stunk that day. He called and he started cussing me out, and I interrupted him and I said, "Listen, I am stinking tired of this. I am not a dog, so stop talking to me like a dog and start talking to me like I'm a human being." Click. Boy, that wasn't being Christ, was it? My water hose stunk that day. So I didn't feel bad about it either, Pastor Rick. I felt pretty good, matter of fact. I was like, "Ha, I bet he don't call me on a Saturday again." Boy, that Saturday, I felt good, man. I was like, yeah, I felt empowered. Well, I went to church that Sunday. Holy Spirit began to convict me, not about what I said, but for how I said it and for hanging up on him. So Monday morning, I'm in his office. First thing, I get there early. He comes in. He sits down. I said, listen, I just want to apologize to you for the way I treated you Saturday. I said, what I said was true. But I said, the way I said it and me hanging up on you, that is not a good example of being a Christian. And I want to ask you to forgive me. I'm going to tell you what, God turned that into an incredible witnessing opportunity. Sometimes our water hoses are going to stink, but we need to clean them up, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in us and through us like the water flows through that water hose. You see, we are the channels of the Lord God's blessings. We are that pathway of blessing for other people. We are able to dispense good to others. We are able to give out what we have been given. We are able to give out to meet the needs of others. You see, we are to provide for those essential needs of other people. Let me ask you a question. Can you love people? Can we love people? By the Holy Spirit, we can. With the Holy Spirit, we can love people. So you can be a blessing to somebody else by just simply loving them. Let me ask a question. Can you smile? I have to tell you this. When I first got saved, First Assembly of God, in Alabama, Roll Tide, Roll, baby. When I first got saved, before I even got saved and I was going to the church, I thought Pentecostal people were sour. Because, I mean, I never smiled. Bless God, God's good. Man, let your lips show it. You know. I mean, I thought, my goodness, I have more joy than these people, and I'm an alcoholic and drug addict, and, you know, let's just let the joy of the Lord flow. Can we be joyous in tough times? Then we can be a blessing to others by showing them, listen, my outward circumstances don't dictate my inner joy. Can we walk in peace when everything is falling apart? Because we know He is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that's lining everything up. And while it seems like everything's falling apart, He's really holding everything together. Can we walk in that peace? Then we can be a blessing to others. Can we speak a kind word to somebody? Can we ask somebody, how are you doing? I'm not talking about where we go, hey, how you doing? That's like, to me, a lie. I mean, how you doing, but hi, bye. I mean, if we're going to ask, how are you doing? We need to stop. And can we listen to people? We can be a blessing to them. I'm going to tell you, there are so many people on the face of this earth. They're just looking for somebody who has two ears and they will just listen. Can we pray for somebody? We can be a blessing. Can we provide that loving attitude? Now, you're like, oh, that you just don't know that person just... I'm going to be honest with you. The first year of the mission school, I'm the discipleship, leadership, and ministry development pastor at a mission school. And we have a guy that comes. And oh my goodness, I just wanted to lay hands on him repeatedly and suddenly until he fell out. Every day of the year. Hunda mashanda. I'm just being honest. I mean, he just had one of those personalities that I just go, ooh. But God taught me a lot that first year. He taught me Luke 6. Luke 6 says, if I love those who love me, what credit is that to me? Even sinners do that. And I'm going to tell you, by the second semester, I was really sort of a little bit liking this guy. And by the end of the year, I even gave him a hug. You see, it's easy to love those who love us. But agape love, the deepest form of love, is really demonstrated when we love those to whom it's hard to love. I was a youth pastor at a church in Ohio. In Ohio. Oh, Jesus. You're talking about cold. We were doing an outreach. I went by this guy's house. Knocked on his door. He came to the door. I said, I'm Bruce Willingham. I'm from Rogers Assembly of God. And that's all I got out. He was blessing me out, but they weren't words of blessing. You blankety blank blank, you better get off my blank property or I'll blank you. I'm like, oh, Jesus, we found the devil. Knocked on the devil's door. I said, sir, not here to do you any harm, just wanting to give you some literature. You take that blankety blank literature and do not ever come to my blankety blank house again. Well, we get done with our outreach and I go home and I'm sharing with Donna and Krista, who is our oldest child. And Krista says, Daddy, that man just needs some cookies. I was like, honey, that man needs a lot more than cookies. She said, Daddy, I believe God is saying that we need to make him some cookies and take them to him. I'm like, honey, you ain't heard from God. We'll go there and get shot. Daddy, we need to take that man some cookies. I was like, oh, Jesus. All right, I'll go fast and pray lunch. And y'all going to make cookies. No, I didn't fast and pray lunch. But y'all, they made cookies. And I mean, we got those cookies. And I went up there and I knocked on his door. And I was standing back about like this from the pulpit, from the door, you know, in case I might have to dodge a bullet or something. And he comes to the door and he's like, I told you to never blank a blank. I said, sir, sir, sir. My youngest daughter here, or my daughter here, wanted to make you some cookies and bring them to you. I'm going to tell you, that man's countenance changed like from the devil to Jesus. Oh, well, that is so sweet, honey. I appreciate that. I mean, there was such a change in his countenance just simply because of a little kid that made him some cookies. Don't underestimate the smallness of acts of kindness. Don't underestimate smiling every day at work and in the grocery store and wherever you go, because you never know who's watching. I would go in this McDonald's 5 days a week to get coffee. Y'all didn't know coffee's going to be in heaven, did you? Starbucks going to be in heaven. The star is going to be Jesus, and the bucks are the streets of gold. Listen, somebody said this. I would give them the credit for it, but I couldn't find out who said it. They said, one kind word can change someone's entire day. I would go into this McDonald's and I would just go in there with, hey, how you doing today? How's your day going? I mean, and I did that for about 2 or 3 months. And the manager, pulled me aside one day and she said, "Sir, I just have to ask you." She said, "I have never encountered anyone that day by day by day by day would come in and be so joyous and so concerned about us." I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, "I'm going to tell you, that's just the opposite of who I am." I said, "Who I am is I would come in here and be grouchy and say, 'Where's my coffee? There wasn't enough cream in it or enough Splenda in it. Fix it again.'" I said, "But there's a person that in 1979, the last Sunday of 1979, I committed my life to him. His name is Jesus Christ. And at that very moment, this mean, ugly, vile sinner, the Holy Spirit of God came to live in me. And he has been changing my attitude day by day, month by month, year by year. And I have just decided that every day I want to live life in joy because the person and power of the Holy Spirit lives in me." Can we be joyous? Can we speak a kind word? See, when we focus on being a blessing, the Lord God always makes sure that we are blessed in abundance. When we think of blessings, a lot of times we think of money, but can I tell you that God was not necessarily speaking to Abraham here in the area of money, but he was speaking to him in the area of blessings of relationships. Of relationships. What kind of relationships do we have with people? No matter what it's like right now, the person and power of the Holy Spirit can help us to walk in a greater degree of love and joy and peace in our relationships. Why? Because he has blessed us in overflowing abundance. This morning, the Lord has blessed us so that we would be a blessing. I want to ask us, this region, will it be better this next month because we have been a blessing to others? In the grocery stores, at work, in our neighborhoods? I'm going to share this story with you, then we're going to close. Where we live now, when we first moved in, we had a young couple that was living next to us, and boy, they loved to party. Well, the neighbor on the other side of them was always complaining about the noise. I mean, this lady could tend to be grouchy. And our neighbors came to me and said, "Bruce, do y'all ever hear any of our noise while we're partying?" I said, "No, but your living room's on the other side of the house." And they said, "Well, our neighbor just will not let us alone." I said, "Well, what about, and our neighbor will not let us alone, and she calls herself a Christian. And she's all the time just on us and nagging us." And I said, "Listen, number one, I don't know what she's been through. Hello? I don't know what the lady's been through, so I don't know." I said, "So I think it's a thing where y'all need to seek to understand her and where she's coming from. And she needs to seek and understand where you're coming from. And y'all need to come to a good, healthy, mutual agreement. Because listen, we never know what people's been through." I said I was going to end with that. I'm lying. I'm going to end with one more story. Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. I have lied to your people. One more story. I was in a discipling relationship with this young man, and we used to meet for lunch at Burger King. And we're sitting there and we're eating our Whopper, and God just drops this scripture into my heart to speak to him, and I began to speak it to him, and he begins to weep. I'm looking around, everybody in Burger King's looking at me like, what'd you say to him? I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I just speak scripture to the brother. And the word that God dropped in my heart to be a blessing to him, I never knew that he was going through what he was going through. And it was a perfect word for the perfect time that a perfect God knew what he was going through and what he needed. Can we speak scripture to people? Then we can be a blessing to them. See, the Lord God has blessed us so we can be a blessing.